Go with me to Romans 8. See, do I have? Okay. You know, Andres always likes to start out every service that he gets to teach with this. God is good all the time. We're going to do this again. God is good all the time. Now we got it. Okay. Because see, that's something we have to, there you go. You missed it. All right. One more time for Andres. God is good
all the time.
See, if we just understand that one little principle right there, you got the kingdom already. If you walk in that principle, you got the kingdom already. The kingdom is already with you. Because it's with you anytime that you allow yourself to be with it. God set this up for you. He set it up for you. And so all we have to do is put ourselves in alignment with it. Amen? Amen. There's lots of ways I can address this, but I just want to I want to say thank you to everybody who's been, for all your prayers, your help, the meals, all the different things that people have done, the visits, all that. And I just want to say I'm so appreciative of what God is doing, and also so appreciative of what each of y'all have contributed into my life during this time. But I want to also let you understand that God's not on trial in this situation. He's not on trial in this situation. It's important for us to understand that because, see, and the other thing is that, you know, if we understand it, then that allows us to get our thinking where it needs to go. So we can all actually be in an agreement. Because, a long time ago, I made up my mind that I was going on with God regardless of what happens. And my trust is in Him. My trust is in Him. So that's just kind of the background of what I wanted to address. Now, in the natural, because of what they call a stroke, they don't even know that it is because they found no clot, they found no blades, but that's what they call it. Okay? That's just the simple part of it. But the deal is, they can't tell me anything about what happened, or can they tell me what's going to happen? But I can tell you what God says is going to happen. That's what we're about. That's what we're about. Because we're not looking to the world for our information. We're looking to what God has for us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8. 28, and we know that God causes all things. Now, if we just stop right there, we got a problem. If we just stop right there, sometimes some people's belief system stops right there. God causes all things. Well, and when they do that, when they allow that to be their thought process, then that's inevitably going to, the enemy's going to put something in their life that causes them to just totally turn away from God because God was responsible for everything. I'm here to tell you, God didn't do this. Okay? He didn't do, thank you, Les, I appreciate that, because God didn't do this. I've had some people who basically are telling me that God did this. I want you to understand, God didn't do this, okay? There is one out there, John 10:10 says, you know, it's the thief, the devil, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you want to blame it on something, let's blame it where the blame goes. But see, in our situation, this is not just about me, this is about you. Because in your situation, whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that you're needing, okay, God didn't do it, so now let's get on to understanding who did, so we can get on with understanding how we're going to get out of it. So we can get on with understanding where faith has got to be connected so that we have something to go forth with. Okay. I'm not sure, but I think I got a little more ornery on me. So we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those who are called according to His purpose. Okay, now, let me say this, okay? I know this is going to go against your what you've been told all your life. But when God is, basically, when it's saying this here, that He's causing all things to work for good, that is not talking about your flat tire. God's not causing you to have a flat tire so you can have some greater revelation someday. Now, if your flat tire causes you to realize something about God, then that's awesome. And I'm not saying that there's not some truth to that. But what He's actually talking about here is He's causing all things to work together for your good, for those who know Him, those who love Him, those who are going on with Him. But those all things that He's talking about are all the things He's just been explaining to you in Romans 1 all the way through to this moment in this scripture. He's starting to sum up His argument that He's been making to you the whole time. It looks a little different now, doesn't it? Because when I look at it as He's summing up His argument that He's been making, then that means all these other things are the things He's talking about that are working towards my good. Let's just back up to Romans 8 and 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. How much more do you need than just that? That one thing right there has already caused you, it's already working for you to bring you closer into the fold. It's working to bring you in to the very presence of the Lord. It's working to bring you in to His design and His divine flow. What Tina was talking about earlier was a schematic, an actual flow chart with decision points. And those decision points are the points where I get to choose, am I going with God or am I going over here? Am I stepping into my purpose or am I backstepping from my place? Those are the decision points. That's part of the tapestry, that schematic that was being laid out. But it comes because we choose to follow after Him. Going down to verse 6, Romans 8. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind set on spirit is life and peace. If you want a key to getting on down the road with God, set it on life and peace. Set it on the Spirit. As we set our mind on the Spirit and the things of the Spirit, then what that automatically does is takes our attention away from the things that are in our flesh. It's real easy to get involved with the things that are affecting our physical body, the things that are affecting our emotions and our soul. But see, if we'll set our mind on the things that are spirit, we're number one, we're aligning ourselves with eternity. And as we align ourselves with eternity, we now have a focus that God can use to draw us closer to Him. All things, you know, lots of decisions become much easier when you look at them from a perspective of eternity. If I'm looking at a situation and I'm trying to evaluate an action for what I'm going to do and I'm only looking for this moment, and then I want to do what feels good. But what feels good in this moment most of the time is not really reflecting what eternity is about. Because eternity is going to cause you to step out of your comfort zone. It's going to cause you to step out from that which is familiar and look for something that's greater than you. Begin to look like someone that was greater than us. It's going to cause us to engage something greater than what we are. Because why? Because choosing eternity means we're choosing love. We're being compelled now by love instead of by our circumstance. When we're being compelled by love instead of our neighbor, how much more can we affect our neighbor? I'm kind of glad I can only see half of you at a time. Some of these faces out here. But God has come, he's wanting to compel us by love. And as we allow ourselves to be compelled by love, then we can draw, we're drawing nearer to him. We're walking into a greater revelation of who he is. And as we do so, then the very atmosphere around us gets to be shifted into a new environment. And guess what? I no longer have to worry about whatever it was I was trying to deal with and get away from. Why? Because I'm not looking at it anymore. If I have an addiction issue and I spend my day looking at Christ, I spend less and less time dealing with the addiction until suddenly it's just not there anymore. Until suddenly it just doesn't exist anymore. We don't have, we do have kids. Okay. There are some things that the world finds normal. Certain magazines and images the world finds normal. But I can tell you when I got saved, as I began to look at Christ, all that just faded away in a couple of months. And it was just done. Is that clear enough for the adults? We don't have to choose anything but to choose him. Because when you choose him and you continue to look towards him, now then all those things, that's what he's talking about here, all these things that we've been talking about throughout Romans are working to draw you closer to Christ. Drawing you closer to the love that's in the Father. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. You know, the song Miracles that we played earlier, the greatest miracle is that the old man died when you accepted Christ. That means we no longer have to give it power. Doesn't mean we aren't continuing to give it power, but we don't have to. We don't have to. And because we're not giving it power, we can start investing ourselves in the new man, the resurrected man, the man that came up with Christ in the resurrection. So we're investing ourselves in the life that we have been given. And the result is righteousness. But verse 14, for those who are being, this is what is all the things that are coming to work together for good. Verse 14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Your sonship. Your sonship as a son or a daughter of the living God. That's what's causing you. When you recognize and walk in the fullness of what's available to you there, when you recognize what God has done in that moment, and he's brought you and he's called you and he brought you into this fullness of his inheritance, you can look at Romans 4, verse 16, where he says, we become heirs with him. Why? Because we're children of God. And when we recognize that we're children of God, we're recognizing what's been made available to us, meaning I have freedom from all that which the enemy was trying to put on me, but I can look and see the place of freedom I have in Christ. I can see his answer. I can know and have an assurance that I'm accepted, valued, and loved. When I know that I'm accepted, valued, and loved, I'm no longer subject to the condemnation of the enemy. Remember verse 1 said, "There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." This is just Romans 8. All these things are working together to build you up and cause you to come into an understanding of who you are. The anxious longing of creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Verse 17 says, "If you're children, you're heirs also. Heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ." In other words, he's been made a brother. You've been made a brother. Then we get down to verses 26 and 27, which just preceded verse 28. There's Holy Spirit coming along to intercede for you. Holy Spirit coming along to tag you up. He's come alongside. And alongside, and it says he's the paraclete, the one who comes alongside us, the one who comes and makes us complete in Christ, the one who comes to represent the parenting factor of God. He's representing the parenting factor. In other words, he's the one who will come and give you the guidelines, the nudges, the pushes where it is you need to go. So when you find that decision tree, you're making a decision out of the Spirit of God, and just not out of our flesh. That's how Holy Spirit comes alongside. It says he's the one who comes to bring transformation in our life. But see, he does this because he knows the mind of Christ for you. He knows the mind of the Father for you. See, there's been some who've said, "Oh, Pastor Chuck, this happened to you because God wanted to tell you something." I am totally and completely and have been for many years open to God to tell me anything he wants to tell me. He doesn't have to do this. He doesn't have to kill me in order for me to get a point. So let's dump all those things, that thinking, and realize that we serve a good God. And when we serve a good God, then there are good things that are happening out of it. The reality is, with what happened, I was supposed to be dead. And I can walk and talk and do everything. Okay? So devil missed. He missed. He may have been trying, but he missed. My covering is in God. Your covering is in God. We don't have to rely on anything else. We're looking to him and his strength. Hallelujah. They're called according to his purpose. That word purpose is the word for showbread. It's the word for showbread. In other words, it's a setting forth, a laying before the Lord. Showbread represents a place of communion. It represents a place of fellowship. His purpose has come to cause us to be able to have that fellowship, that laying before the Lord. Everything that's about him will be calling us to lay before him. That's where we get the strength. And all this leads you to something. Verse 32. "For he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us. How much will he not also with him freely give us all things?" How many? All things. And just to wrap this up, because this is the most important part. Verse 38. Let's just say it together. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Right there. We make up our mind. We make up our mind to go on with Him. He already made up His mind. He's going on with you. Nothing. See, this is not talking about separating us. This is talking about our choice, not His. He already made up His mind. He's going on with you. He's going on with us. Somebody mentioned Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego earlier, but you know, recognized that when they were speaking to the king before they got dropped into the fire, they said, "Our God will rescue us. But even if He doesn't, we're going to serve Him." Amen? We're going on with Him. We're going on with the love. We're going on, and because why? Because He's already chosen us, so we're choosing Him. And you choose to worship, you're choosing Him. When you choose to press in, you're choosing Him. When you choose to allow the love of God to flow through you, you're choosing Him. We choose Him. All right? God bless you. Love you. Amen.